Triple M Footy is your front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Rub. For McDonald's Chicken Big Mac,
Triple M rocks footy.
Hello and welcome to the MCG. Pretty grey day, but a wonderful day ahead. This is the Monday Rub, and we're here for football, but more importantly, for the Fight MND cause. Neil Danaher has had a big, big week. Jump on fightmnd.org.au. That's fightmnd.org.au. Donate now. It's become so much more than a game of football. All sorts of celebrities going down the slide today, and we will be speaking to them on Triple M. Don't worry about that. Leighton Hewitt, Steve Hooker, Steve Bradbury, Steve Monaghetti, Andy Gay, Sherelle McMahon, Adam Gilchrist. You'll hear from all of those people, as well as a very excited coach of Carlton, Brendan Bolton. Will join us. Big Maxi Gorn from the Demons joins us in the box. A wonderful day of entertainment and football ahead, and I look around here and couldn't be more excited to spend it with these gentlemen. And congratulations to anyone that got themselves involved in the Queen's birthday honours list. Wayne Swash is here, Nathan Brown, Damien Barrett, Chris Judd. Boys, before we get too far into it, Damo, I guess it was a game of football this day, but in the last few years it's become so much more, and it's really added to the occasion.
It has. Year three of the MND into the pool plunge, Howie, and as you know, and as you've just read it off there, it's an Olympic theme or an Australian representation theme today, and yeah, it just continues to grow, doesn't it? We've all seen Neil Danaher speak during the week, and it's here, it's part of the AFL calendar as much as any other event now is, and I think that's very significant that he can turn that around in just the space of 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful event, and I'm looking forward to it later on this afternoon. The boys are normally looking pretty fit and fine. Juddy, you look a little off colour. You stopped for a little snack on the way into the MCG. You normally like a good feed. You don't look your best, to be honest.
A 3 a.m. server.
Yeah.
Well, a little sieve lucky at the front. It does feel a little bit like a time bomb in my guts at the minute, Howard. So watch this space very, very closely. But it's going to be plenty of excitement off the field, and maybe a little bit of excitement in the triple box too.
For a man who's quite trim still after his playing days, you are very good on the tooth. How long do you think that can last for?
Well, the Duke, our Friday night captain, did look me in the eyes and said he thought I had about 12 to 18 months before I started to look a little bit offensive. But I think he said before, the only way I'd be able to get one with my missus is if I was wearing a T-shirt, is how he put it, Howie, which I found very hurtful. But
so you'd like to be like one of those guys who wear T-shirts in the pool?
Well, I might have to. But at this stage, fair to say I've trained off a little bit. I've still got a good 12 to 18 months left, Howie.
Schwatter's looking at me strangely. This is what happens on Friday night if you haven't been listening, Schwatter, to the Friday
Huddle. Things have changed since I used to get the call up every now and again. Yeah, I think it's the Judd influence.
Yeah, no doubt about
that. Which is also noticeable from an apparel point of view. I feel very underdressed. And I look around, Brownie's got a nice crisp blue shirt on and... You are completely overdressed, Howie. You've got flip-flops on. You've got shoes on, the desert boots. So, Juddy, you've got a lot to answer for, my friend.
The collar wouldn't hurt you, Schwatter.
I know, Juddy.
I got pulled up a couple of weeks ago in Geelong and told that I was letting the team down. Nate, and we were discussing this.
Well, you look like a librarian when you were down there. That's why.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good, I'll admit that.
You're only a young man. You don't need to be a librarian yet.
That was the brown on brown
Yeah,
day,
it was the double brown. Yeah. I heard a lot about the double brown as I've been getting around town as well. Yeah. Nate, this was a fight you had to fight yourself, putting on weight after football. It went a bit sideways. You got a bit roly-poly, didn't you, Nate?
Yes. I must admit, it went really quickly. I played at 81, and I kid you not, I went to 91 in the click of a finger. And I started to get called all the sorts of names. Arjuna Rungatunga was one of the favourites. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, I need to do something about this. The one thing I did do was cut out any form of sugar. So I cut the sugar out, and because I love a pasta. I love pasta and bread and just really caking it on. But you got to exercise as well. I was still living the man of an AFL player, which was no good.
Well, you're looking good now. By the way, I got a text message from a friend of mine during the week. Lives up, sort of up the bush, up Wooree Yalak way. Oh. And he said he was lined up to go to a big sportsman's night style situation, which I think you were involved with. And then they rang him and said they were refunding his credit card details, and he wanted me to ask you directly what had happened.
Well, I got the call to go and do an event at Wooree Yalak Footy Club.
Right. What's the point of a pre-show meeting, Juddy?
A little part of the folding. You get the little white envelope and you're getting in there. The green ones are in there. I think there's going to be about 25 in there.
You would have declared it, though, Brownie, wouldn't you?
Of course I would have, if anyone from the ATO is listening. I got the text message yesterday from the person who had organised it for me. It was me and Spud and Dipper. I was a late call-up, so all the tickets were sold around Spud and Dipper. And Spud, he needs the money at the moment, Spud, but it has been called off on the back of poor ticket sales, which I blame on Spud. He has lost the plot, Spud. He's out of Triple M, and his notoriety in this town has gone down.
Would it be true to say there was under 20 tickets sold, Nath, as the number that
well,
was thrown at me?
It's only a small town, Warrigalik, so right. There wouldn't have been too many up there.
What's the lowest crowd number you've performed at where you've been paid to perform?
Around a normal dinner table, I once hosted about 7 high-ranking Richmond supporters.
But there were meant to be more than 7?
No, that amount, okay. Yeah, and they all paid very handsomely.
What about you, Dame? Have you ever performed? I work for Channel 10, so I'm used to performing in front of small crowds, but I'm not sure about yourself.
It's not my go, Howie. I'm the late call-up man usually, and for good reason.
All right, a bit of news to get through. We're going to be speaking to Brendan Bolton in a very short period of time. A wonderful game we were at there, Schwatter. It was exciting. The flip side of the equation is the win for Carlton is the loss for GWS, Damo.
Yeah, it's hard to work out. Do we let the Giants off the hook, given that, as we knew going into it, Schwatter, that it was their last game before their bye, and they've been just hanging on in so many close games, and do we let them off? But then again, we look at who beat them and how it happened, and they weren't able to control them. You caught it? They weren't able to control properly, were they? The final moments of the game where they probably, of the games that have stolen or won by narrow margins, they had more chance yesterday, didn't they, to actually seal it than they had in the past.
Yeah, I think Joey Montagna said it in the pre-game yesterday, Howie, that the Blues set up really, really well behind the ball, and that probably frustrated the Giants yesterday. And I think Carlton held their structures. Juddy did it really well. Some of the kids were fantastic. Without wanting to give the Giants an excuse, Damo, they're missing 12 players, I think, with regards to injuries, and 10 of those are walk-up starters. So I think what we've seen this year, Juddy, is, and we were saying it again yesterday, is that this is as even a season as I can recall, because you can be the 16th, 17th, 18th place team, but if you turn up and play your footy for four quarters, you're a chance of rolling a top team.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a season like it. And, the AFL will be wrapped, that there is a bit of change at the top of the ladder, and the unpredictability of games is incredible to watch. But I think Carlton, like got touched on, they are hard to score against this year, and most of their goal sources come from a skill error. It's not because the setup's been poor, and we saw that again yesterday.
How many times during the week do you reckon Leon Cameron and Wayne Campbell, who's the boss of football, would have said to them, don't get ahead of yourselves, you've got the bye, get the job done? They would have been over and over again, but they played like a team who had their head in a vacation the following week.
Well, Damo, if that's true, and there may be an element of that, they came back perhaps thinking they were a bit ahead of themselves before the season started, did they not? Because I think Leon Cameron had to address that as well.
After the round one loss, he did. And look, we're going to speak to Brendan Bolton pretty shortly, aren't we, Howie?
We are.
So we'll discuss the Carlton side of that with him and beyond that moment. But just for the moment, let's concentrate on the Giants, Schwatter. And Leon Cameron yesterday, after the loss, did speculate that there would be some changes to his makeup.
I think in this competition, as even as it is, and we all see the results every weekend, it's going to be the side who wants to go the distance more than the side beside you. And right now, if you put a percentage on it, we're only going the distance 70, 75%. So we need to find that little bit extra percent to see if we do want to go the distance, or we're not going to be a part of some real deep action at the end of the year.
That was Leon Cameron. Concerningly now, too, is the news that the club itself released yesterday, Howie, that Brett Dilidio is now got another setback, Juddy, with the calf problems, and they've been ongoing for some time. It's now unlikely that he plays any significant role in what lies ahead for them this year, which then, I suppose, poses a question to the future. But Leon Cameron on the latest setback to Brett Dilidio.
Yeah, we're not going to hide away from the fact that we are disappointed, more for Brett. I mean, obviously we'd love him out here playing for us as well, but for Brett it's a challenging time for him. It's been a challenging time since he probably, around that February mark, where he had a really good start, his pre-season was great, and then he's had calf issues ever since, and we think that we're getting him right, and then we take a backward step, and we've taken another one on the week, on Thursday. He trained really well, and the last minute or so, when he was over in his rehab, his other calf tweaked a little bit. And so, with these injuries, you probably think it's a normal 1 or 2 week injury, but because he's had repeat calf issues, I can't tell you how long that's going to be.
That was Triple M pre-match yesterday, Howie. Yep. As you well know, you covered that part of the program yesterday. Mm. So, look, they've now got Griffin and Dilidio, Juddy. The older men of that team, the older recruits, unlikely, as we sit here today with half the season still to go, unlikely to play significant parts until very late at the best.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the unique situation GWS are in is they've probably still got 16 you know, 15 or 16 weeks left in their season, if you include finals and how far they're expected to go. So in terms of number of games, it may not be significant, but you may only need to play five or six games this year and still play a very significant role. So I'm sure those guys will be focusing in on trying to break their way into the team in the very back end of this season, and that may be significant enough.
It's the supposedly good calf that he has tweaked on this occasion. So you go back to around, was it 18 or so last year when he first really got stricken with
the first time
calf.
He's ever had injuries too. He played the first 10 years of his career without doing anything at all. And all of a sudden, and I spoke to him probably about a month ago, and he was that excited that he was coming up to playing because he feels like, as you know, when you go to a new club or at any club, if you've been there for a long time and you're injured and you can't get out there, you feel like you're letting everybody down. People don't think that at the club, but you feel it yourself. You just want to be out there. And another setback now, he'd be in a world of hurt mentally, I think, at the moment.
Mm. So Griffin's also the unknown too in that equation when it comes to those 10 guaranteed walk-up starters. Shorter.
Yeah, I tell you the other guy that has a big say, Juddy, with regards to what happens with the Giants, remembering that, you know, it's not panic stations. They've got 9 wins in the bank. But Shane Mumford's last couple of weeks, he's been taken to task. And Matty Cruiser, who will talk to Brendan Bolton, was outstanding yesterday. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that your ruckman has a big say. And Mummy, who's such a physical presence, doesn't seem to be having the same influence on games. Rory Lobb's another player that's not playing as well. So
Patton? How'd you find his game yesterday?
I'll tell you what. He got 2 goals in the opening quarter. But the resurrection, leaping Liam Jones, was outstanding after quarter time.
Are there concerns, Juddy? They've lost top spot on the back of yesterday. They're now equal with Adelaide with the 9 wins from 12 games. Their percentage isn't as good as the Crows. We know what they're capable of, but are there concerns?
Well, they'd be disappointed with how they play, but I think you've just got to keep things in perspective. And with the players they've got out, I think they're going better than any other team in the competition. But it's one of those seasons where no team has stood out as a real clear standout yet. So they're in the mix as are probably 3 or 4 others.
Just on Liam Jones, but we're going to speak to Brendan Bolton. We'll ask him about it, but obviously you played with him. The forward versus back, he's gone back. He played really well yesterday. Can you see that being longevity?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Liam Dool, we're calling him down there at the club. he was very, very sharp down there, down back. He read the ball really well. He backed himself, showed some confidence. And I think absolutely we know how hard it is to find key defenders. And if he plays like that for the rest of the year, he's got plenty of footy left in him.
Talking about Liam Jones, Paul Ruseworth was on the Sunday Rub yesterday, and his young bloke is...
Yeah, Dylan, I think.
Yeah, Dylan. I think he plays with
Northern Blues.
Yep. So he said he's seen a lot of Liam Jones this year, and he said he's not just the best player in that team. He said he is by far and away the best player in the VFL. That's how well he's been going. So
down back.
Yeah, down back. And he just looked confident from the start. The first goal Patton got, Jones was off his man trying to defend elsewhere. So it was 3 or 4 one-on-one contests inside 50, wasn't there, Swatter, where he was isolated and he brought the ball to ground and then rebounded brilliantly.
If we judge him on one game, one new chapter, then if that's the output that he can do every week, Juddy, then it will be hard to displace him out of the team. Great fill-up for Sam Rowe, who's not playing anymore this year.
Yeah, no, most certainly. He was terrific. Mm. So, no doubt at all. He keeps his spot, and he'll be an incredibly valuable member of the team if he keeps playing like that.
Chock full of defenders at the moment, the Blues, aren't they? Plowman, you've got Marchbank, who are playing really well. Wiedering, who I still think is a better forward than what he is back. So they are set up at the back end.
I think the back's their first line, where you go, this line plays together for 8 to 10 years. So that's the first one they've got sorted.
2 seconds on the clock. It's gone across the boundary line. They're saying zero on the clock. Umpire's called play on. Haven't heard the siren. There it is. A famous win for the Old Navy Blues. Carlton by a point.
Stunning game of football at Etihad Stadium yesterday. Carlton holding off GWS 1-point winners in one of the games of the season. It was a treat to be there. And this man, well, I don't know if he could watch in the closing 2 minutes. He's the coach of the Carlton Football Club. A great treat to speak to him on a wonderful day for the Carlton Footy Club. Their coach, Brendan Bolton. G'day, coach.
G'day, gents. How are we all?
Well, how are you going in those last few moments? Swatter was calling beside me when Levi was lining up, and, well, you looked a nervous man there in the box.
Well, I couldn't see him.
I actually said to the guys upstairs, if he kicks this, I'm going to race down to the box, and we're going into a scenario for the last minute or so of the game, but he unfortunately missed it, and so I stayed in the box.
So what was your scenario that you were thinking about if he did kick the goal? What were your thoughts at that stage, Brendan?
It was about just trying to nullify the opposition's chance to score. So it'll be about where you're putting the numbers in and around the centre bounce. So I was on my way down to arrange that, but yeah, we missed that one. I stayed up because the scenario didn't change.
And Bolt's Cruz's 150th yesterday. He was terrific on Mumford. You must have been really pleased for him and how he played on the day.
Yeah, well, he's been in the system now, 10 years and 150 games, because he's had to battle through quite a few injuries with his knees. But I think he's probably, it would be fair to say, he's in the most consistent form of his career at the moment. And, his work rate around the ground's really pleasing. I reckon he had 9 or 10 score involvements and kicked the goal himself. So it was a real positive performance for Cruz and made it a little bit better for him on a milestone game.
Through a bit of adversity, good opportunity, Sam Rowe goes out, but Liam Jones gets the chance to resurrect his career down back. One game in, did a really good job.
Yeah, Brenny earned his spot because he was playing some really good footy at the Northern Blues. And I'm just rapt because it's a significant change for someone who's played their whole career as a forward. And then to adjust down back at VFL, first of all, you need to have a growth mindset to it, and he did. And full credit to him. So I'm just happy he got a result this week.
And Petrovsky, Seaton, Bolts, who's down, has managed for yesterday's game. Does that mean he necessarily has to work through the VFL, or what are the plans with him?
No, not necessarily. We just thought, you know, a young guy didn't have some continuity over the week off with his training. So we just thought 2 weeks now in the middle of the season was really good for him. So, he's a real chance to come back in, but we haven't gone through selection, but he'll be up for grabs this week.
Brendan, Mark Murphy has often had criticism of the way he plays and his leadership, and yet I know people inside the club don't have those same reservations or concerns about him. How have you found him, and how have you found specifically the first half of 2017?
Well, I think ultimately his form speaks for itself. He's leading by example. He's he's winning big possessions and using the ball really well for us all year. And I think last year, in spite of injury, the investment he made in our leadership program and trying to help others has served him really well, because he's appreciating every game. He's appreciating being a captain of a footy club. So I can't speak highly enough of that.
And when you have wins like yesterday's, Brendan, does it allow you to convince your players that they are on the right track? And I don't mean that to sound too simplistic, but do you need a big scalp like you got yesterday in order to just make everything gel?
No, not necessarily. I think it's just a little bit more of affirmation that our system's strong and we're in the right direction. But our players are really confident in our system. We'd been in games up to our teeth, and at the break, I think there was 3 or 4 games prior to the break where we were in front in the last quarter but never quite got the result. So there's a lot of belief there, but that's not bad to just get that little bit of boost of confidence. But the group's comfortable with our system.
We're speaking to Carlton coach Brendan Bolton. Here's Wayne Schwoz.
Hey, yeah, Brendan, it was a great win, but probably more meritorious considering the fact that Alex Silvani wasn't able to play after quarter time, one man down for the remaining 3 quarters.
Yeah, it was. You know, there were some times where they were pressing really strongly and we fought back. I think there would have been 9 or 10 lead changes in the game, which set our group play with a little bit of grit. We know the opposition's quality, but we turned up and played with grit and never gave up the fight. So considering we're one down in rotation, that reinforces we've got strong characters.
Coach, the last 10, 20 minutes of that game, you're probably in as stressful a workplace environment as you could be. And how do you de-stress after a game like that? And how long do you calm down and can rejoin normal life?
It took a while to unwind last night, I must admit, but the life of a coach is a crazy one, and the assistants, for that matter. They all work incredibly hard, so we had to go home and start coding the game, which just means analysing and cutting vision ready for the review. You'd like to be able to enjoy it a little bit more, but we have a 6-day break leading into Gold Coast, so once you're into the rigour of the review, you probably calm down a little bit.
Coach, we really appreciate your time. Congratulations to you and the Carlton Footy Club yesterday. It was a great game to watch, and it was a really nice win for your footy club.
Appreciate you having me on, gents. Thank you.
Brendan Bolton, the coach of the Carlton Footy Club. Juddy, you're soon to be a board member of this footy club. Are you happy with the way things are tracking? Were you watching yesterday? Describe your day in front of the telly.
Yeah, watching yesterday, and just really wrapped that they're starting to get some proof that, that what's happening down there is working. Like we've talked about, their defence is really strong. They defend well behind the ball, but I think we're slowly starting to see some more run in the midfield and a little bit more scoring power, so plenty to like.
There'll be some ups and downs. There'll be some bad losses along the way, but I tell you what, if you're a Blues supporter, Damo, you can go there really excited about some of the kids that they've got coming through. We talked about Marchbank. You've got Cunningham, who's a likely prospect. They've got good quality. Fisher, a skinny kid, looks as though he's just come out of high school. They've got plenty of young kids there, and I think the future's very bright for the Blues.
Yeah, and as Jody asked Brendan Bolton, to the management of Petrescu Seaton, it's obviously, I don't think they expect him to play the first half of the year as they did have him play, given he had no pre-season to speak of.
He did that quad and missed a month leading into the season. So, I mean, that's what's happened. You've got Stephen Silvani's done a terrific job with the list, and you know, I think Bolt is a terrific coach. And if you've got those two jobs right in your footy club, a little bit of time, and you know, you start looking like a pretty solid outfit. So,
and you got the people on the board right too. Obviously.
Well, and yet to join the board, and I'll be interested to see what the board think of Judge Juddy as well, and just how they cast their eye across that one. It might be slightly censored next season.
No, it won't.
Not so good for the Hawks. They had a tough loss against the Gold Coast. Cold Coast, and their coach got himself in a little bit of hot water, Damo.
Yeah, let's just recap it, because he has apologised, but we'll go back to the post-match press conferences now, which got him into the trouble.
I'm not allowed to comment on disgraceful umpiring for me, so I'm better off not saying anything. Yeah, we didn't lose the game because of the umps. Yeah, there's a few dubious decisions over the course of the game that you just got to take the swings and roundabouts, and unfortunately, we hit a few roadblocks in that regard today.
Received the phone call from the AFL yesterday, and then I think smartly, Howie, got on the front foot, broke into the Fox footy coverage of the game yesterday, despite not needing to be there, and apologised, which we can now listen to.
I went to the press conference with the full intention of trying to educate our members and the football public just where Hawthorn's at, and I actually went in with the intention of not mentioning the umpires at all. We got a question from Greg Borman. In no way was I trying to tarnish the umpire and all the AFL, but just got caught up the emotion of the game. You know, that decision only happened 15 minutes earlier. So, you know, I apologise to the umps and also to the AFL. But yeah, you know, it's a really emotional game, and you know, just got caught up with it. But
trying to be a bit too cute. Ultimately, what he did say about the umpires was it was disgraceful. Now, I know that he didn't mean it that way, but that's what he said. And for a man, Swatter, Brownie, Juddy, Howie, who's got prize in this space, the AFL has to come down pretty hard on him on this occasion. It's too easy for him to just get on at halftime yesterday, whenever it was, and apologise the way he did. It goes back to 2006. These are the documented cases where he approached umpires on a plane wanting to ask questions in a manner which was upsetting to the umpires. In 2008, he made a comment about umpire Schmidt, saying he was a great player for the opposition today. And then, as we know, probably the worst one and the most damning one was the 2012 incident where, in a junior game, Jody, he told one of the effectively teenage volunteers to, you know what, off. He doesn't get it, and I don't think he should be cutting any slack when it comes to the AFL coming down hard on him by way of a sanction tomorrow.
So what's ideal for you? What do you think the outcome should be?
Well, just to not let the apology yesterday to be enough, I think he should be, you know, being forced to attend some stuff and also in his own personal financial back pocket. Now, whether it's a 10,000... 15,000, I don't know, but something has to be done because it's too easy for Clarko just to apologise the way he did yesterday. Is my take on it, Brownie. You seem to have a different view on that.
I think he's done the right thing by apologising. It is an emotional game, and what he said, you know, he shouldn't say that as a senior coach or in that position, but we all make mistakes, and he's made a couple now, but he does a lot of stuff for the game, and you never want to muzzle somebody like Clarko. It's an emotional game. And yes, he said the wrong thing, but fining him 10 grand, does it make any difference, really?
In the whole as in, you reckon he might do it again next time?
I don't think he's going to go out and directly do it again, but he might. I mean, what does it do by fining him? What does it do?
Well, it allows him, the competition, to at least stand up for what it once held very dear, and that is any form of public commentary in an adverse and negative way by the people who play the game against the umpires who, again, it's only 5 or 6 years ago with Adrian Anderson, and he copped a lot of criticism, didn't he, Schwatter, for how he managed and ran the footy department. But look, whatever you say about him, at least you knew where they stood on every issue. I mean, we've had an issue now where the jumper punches took a month to be resolved. Now, are we going to let this thing fester as well? Is another coach today going to do the same thing as Clarko
did? So James Hird got $20,000 for Scotty McLaren back
saying
then.
Saying he was a disgrace.
Yeah, is that similar?
It was the same word, actually, I think, wasn't it, when you throw up that. I can't imagine it being $20,000, no. But I think it has to be something pretty significant.
Any money surely can only go to one spot, though, and that would be, you think, with everything happening this weekend, fight MND course, if there was any money.
Might have been one way of nipping it in the bud yesterday, had Clarko volunteered that. I'm sure he's contributing anyway, like we all have to a point. I'm sure he will, because he is, as Brownie says, very good in so many things that he does in footy.
My word.
Does Judge Juddy need to be watching over his shoulder for any freedom of speech breaches from your end, Purple? Might you're pushed into some sort of a repeat offender tribunal?
You're paid as a commentator, Juddy, and that's why we like what you're doing at the moment. Because I am worried, though, when you do join the board of that Carlton Footy Club, whether subconsciously, subliminally, you'll just back off a little bit, which we can't have.
Good on point, Gamer. If you've got this far, I think you're home free. About round 6 or 7, you could have got wound in, but I think you've got through. Boys, people do some extraordinary things to raise money, and we're about to go to a club in Western Australia, Damo, which is Boxwood FC with Lake Grace Footy Club, which was Nat Fyfe's junior footy club. The great southern part of WA, about 120 kilometres east of Albany, a nice little farming community, have gone above and beyond as far as Freeze MND goes. We're going to be joined on the line by a fellow by the name of Alex Baum, who's on the line now, I believe. G'day, Alex.
How are you, lads? Good to be here.
Oh, Al, now great to speak to you. A massive day for your football clubs yesterday. Describe what happened, please.
It was a great day on Saturday, lads. We, a couple of weeks ago, we all, a young fella whose his family's been affected by MND, and sort of come to the footy club and asked to, have a bit of a fundraiser and see what we could do, and we all jumped around it, and yeah, it was a great day. We had a lot of organising and raffles, and we ended up having an auction, which raised plenty of money, actually. It was really good.
Now, Al, what you did, people need to jump on the Triple M Footy Facebook page. You set up, if you don't mind, your own slide, and then got local members of the community auctions as to how much needed to be paid for them to get down the slide. Describe the rig of your slide and how you put it together.
Yeah, look, it was quite agricultural. a mate of mine and I came together and found a slide we had in a local playground. We borrowed it and tech screwed it to the top of a Land Cruiser ute and made a few supports, and then got a blow-up pool from the local toy shop and filled it full of ice and water. And, yeah, unfortunately, I got stitched up and made to go down it in my polka dots. Budgie smugglers, apparently, unfortunately.
Did it pass all the occupational health and safety requirements there, Alex?
Yeah, look, we made sure we all wore a helmet that had hashtag fight MND on it, which was quite a hit for the day.
Nice work.
And the amount of money you raised, I've got the figure in front of me, but it would make more sense for you to tell our listeners how much you raised. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, look, we've raised roughly just shy of $20,000 on our internet page. It was our Everyday Heroes we set up. We also had an auction, which local had donated a number of things. We auctioned off a lawnmower, which a local agricultural company kindly donated, and that was made $5,000, which was absolutely unbelievable.
And we know Nate Fyfe came from that league, Alex. What other WA players have been applied their craft at that area of WA?
Oh, look, forgive me if I forget some, but I recently went to uni with a young fellow who was from Nyangrup. He's now playing for Geelong. I don't know if he's quite got a gig yet, but hopefully he goes well. Angus Litherland, he was recently at the Hawthorn Football Club. He was there. A number of the Mortons are all from Lake Grace. And, yeah, no, look, we've had plenty of talent come through, and hopefully we can get 20 more.
Good on you, Al. We appreciate you having a chat with us, and well done to you and everyone from Boxwood FC and Lake Grace. $20,000 for a small community, and it's still going up.
It was actually $45,000 was raised. Sorry, lads.
Oh, you've underdone yourself by $25,000.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot to tell you the end figure.
45, mate. That's a brilliant effort, Alex. Congratulations. Enjoy your afternoon. Enjoy the footy later on today.
No worries, lads. Have a good one.
Alex Baum from the Boxwood FC alongside Lake Grace Footy Club. $45,000 for a small farming community. I like the they rigged up the slide too, yeah, Damo. Right. A little bit agricultural, our man said. A little bit more news getting around. Damo.
Yeah, let's look at the St Kilda situation with Joey Montagna and Nick Riewoldt. They both worked on Triple M Footy over the course of the weekend. We'll start with Joey first. Dermot Breton wrote an article about St Kilda in the Herald Sun on Saturday. I don't know if you all read it, but there was a particularly critical paragraph of Montagna about getting cheap kicks. Anyway, Joey explains on Triple M Footy that he took it up with Dermot.
It is very difficult, and that was part of the reason, particularly with that article, why I rang Dermot. I needed to get off my chest and speak to him about it, because if I just let that bottle up, I thought that was going to affect my mood and my football. So that's why I did that. You just need to learn with experience. You have to just try and put it aside and just concentrate on what you can control, and that's, you know, getting to training, getting to work, continue to improve, and then how you perform on the weekend.
We'll get your views on his situation and that Dermot Burton specific in a few moments. But before we do, and we'll then talk about it as a collective, Nick Riewoldt on Triple M Footy on Saturday also spoke about the unknown about his own future contractually, this specifically in reference to his great mate, his former coach Grant Thomas, going public with his own reservations about Nick going on.
People would be naive to think that what's been said publicly hasn't been said to me first, and probably more honestly. So he's, he's been a great mentor of mine for a long time, a really good friend still, and he actually hasn't, said that he thinks I should retire. I think when you look at it all in context, it's more about, what the club are trying to do in the future.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's the situation with both those guys. We'll go back to the Montagna situation, Howie. There's a specific reference in the article written by Dermot Burton in Saturday's Herald Sun reads as such.
Yeah, he made a lot of points about Joey's position in the team. And then he said about Montagna, and I quote Dermot Burton, he doesn't run the lines from defence anymore. It is joked around the league that the hardest contested ball Montagna will fight for is against a teammate to take the kick in after a behind. And talking to Joey on air and off air yesterday, he was... I think upset would be the fair way to describe the way he felt about that.
Yeah, I think that's a good drive. I think that captures it. He was disappointed to the point where he felt he needed to challenge that. And I think every football player gets cheap kicks in the modern game, don't they? I think it's unfair to single.
Is that really unfair? Do you anyone in this box?
I thought he was just about unbaggable. Lenny Hayes before him, probably been the heart and soul of that footy club, and there's a lot of talk about Nick Riewoldt and media people wanting him to retire as well. But Joe Montagna, I've never seen him shirk an issue. Yes, he's an uncontested player just because he runs so hard, but I thought it was tough.
Yeah. Tell you where you need to be careful as a media commentator. What we do, and Joey explained this yesterday, because I'm not sure who put the question to him, but the question was along the lines of, you come off a really successful period, you're making grand finals, you don't win a premiership. What's your mindset change? And Joey went into detail about the fact that he needed to stimulate himself more. It's not just about what we see for 2.5 hours during the course of a weekend. What does he do during the week? And he openly discussed the value and the importance from his own stimulation of educating the young players. We see them for a fraction of a week. We make decisions based on what we've seen for 2 hours. What we don't see is all of the other good stuff that people like Joey and Nick Riewoldt are doing on a daily basis, Juddy.
And it's very important. When you're a young player, you come into a side, the thing you do is you look at the oldest, most successful player in your position and you essentially copy their behaviours. So having those cultural heroes at every club is incredibly important.
Okay, as outsiders, as you all are now, to both play on next year, all of you...
Look, I think Nick does if he wants to, just because he's...
So it's his call.
If I was St Kilda, I would be keen for him to play on again if he wanted to, because he just gives you such great flexibility. He's such a unique player. I think Joey's a much closer call because he is a smaller player and it's much easier to find those players. But I'd largely base the decision around if I felt the culture was strong enough... that you weren't reliant on having those two veterans still in the team.
I think Nick Riewoldt's still their best player and played some great footy at the start of the year. Just an injury has slowed him down a bit. But, I don't think he plays forward anymore. If he used to go ahead, he'll play on the wing, which he wants to play on the wing. So I think that's his role because they've got three key forwards now to choose from. So that running role he plays. I'm with Juddy, with Joey. If Alan Richardson sees that he's taking somebody's spot in that side that could help them win their next premiership, then yes, Joey has to go. But if there's no one beating down the door and saying, I'm going to come in, I'm going to belt that door down, I'm a young player who wants to play, his use of the ball is very good, and that's something the St Kilda lack at the moment. So it's a 50-50 ball game.
I agree with both Juddy and Brownie. And from a club's point of view, I think the question you need to be comfortable to answer is, I think importantly, it's up to Nick, and it may be lesser up to Joey, but can the club afford to let both go in the same year, and do we have enough depth and maturity coming through to cover that significant loss?
I think the one last thing is that with a bloke like Nick Riewoldt, he doesn't lose his ability to play. What you lose is your ability to recover from games in time for the next game. So there may be a point in time where clubs decide from the outset, we only want him for 12 games, and you do just play once a fortnight, because the ability he has hasn't gone anywhere.
And what's more important that we learn about Joey Friday night is that he has 50 celebrity league passes. We spoke to his,
his biologist that goes by the name of Billy, too.
Yeah, he spoke to his wife, and we said that Juddy posed the question, does Joey have a celebrity league pass? And she said he's got about 50 that he'd like.
Mentioned Beck Madden from the footy show, which we all fell off yesterday. He was quite sheepish, but he did confirm the fact that the first time he approached her, he said he was a marine biologist that may or may not have had great experience with octopuses, and this is the type of stuff you roll out.
You need those sort of people around your footy club too. That's what kicks here, keeps ticking.
What, marine biologists?
No, just your blokes with a really good imagination.
Out and
like
about.
You, Brownie. Yeah.
Robbo is on the concourse. Come in, Robbo. Big, big day out there, no doubt.
Oh, massive day out here, boys. I'm just standing at the Dennis Lilly statue. That's between Gate 1 and Gate 2. I've just been over to the homeland of Collingwood. They start there at the centre, and they move across the bridge, and the Melbourne supporters will link up with the Collingwood supporters in real unison from Federation Square, led by Neil Danaher and also Eddie Maguire. So a massive crowd has just been led into the members. They've all got their Freeze 3 beanies on. So looking forward to that, because they're testing 8 drugs at the moment for Neil Danaher's push for this horrendous thing that's grabbed hold of him. He's fighting for his life, as we know, and more about that later. But the crowd's building. They say 70,000 plus, but I reckon they could get to 80 because of the conditions. It's blue sky out here, and they will walk across the railway lines into the precinct here at the MCG, and it's just fantastic to see this world-class stadium just building. Collingwood and Melbourne supporters linking arms, and we saw both captains of Collingwood and Melbourne, Jones and Pendlebury, do that right through the week. As soon as they bounce the ball, it's a different story, but the lead-up has been fantastic, especially the push with the federal government backing $2 million to match donations from the public as well. So not only have we got a football match on, but we've got a battle with this MND disease with Neil Danaher. And how courageous and gutsy is that bloke? What a tremendous person Neil is. But building out here, boys.
We already heard from Alistair Clarkson apologising. Did he bring us an update on the big recruit from the Gold Coast that's found his way at Hawthorn now, Amira?
He did, as part of that apology on the Fox footy coverage yesterday. How he did say that Amira, and this is a quote, I don't think immediately after the bye, but it will be soon. And that is in reference to his comeback date from the latest bout of knee problem that he's got. And yet again, this is a situation where it's being pushed further back than what Hawthorn was initially prepared to say on Omira. I know there's an unknown around it, but there's also been a fair bit of defensiveness around the fact that he has had a setback with it, right back to round 3 when he first redid it, so to speak, against Gold Coast. So it's an issue for a guy who's missed completely 2 footy seasons before this one and has now had a very, very interrupted one. It is the same leg. It is a different part of the leg. But as Alistair Clarkson has admitted, the stress has been, and the joint itself has been clearly enough disturbed to the point where if it's pushed out much further than beyond the bye, it's going to be a situation where at some stage they're going to have to think about, do we actually just put him back in cotton wool again and wait for 2018?
You can understand them being slightly defensive, because rightly or wrongly, people look at it that they sold the farm.
Yep.
This is the great white hope. He's going to be a 10-year player. He's going to play 200 games. Why is he not playing? In hindsight, in 10 years' time, that might not be the case, whatever. You can imagine the footy club being a little bit anxious about it at the moment, because they know the way it's being played out by the general footy community.
Yeah, and
their decision, though.
Your terminology of giving up the farm, they did. As we well know, and as we've discussed several times, the first pick of their doing for this year is going to go to St Kilda. And as we know, and as we look at the ladder right now, it's a very lucrative pick in this draft. And that ultimately is on the back of the Omira transaction. There's other little intricacies around it which created that scenario. But ultimately, it was the decision to go and get Omira which has forced this decision upon the club to give that pick to St Kilda. So they've got to live with that. And also, too, and I feel for Omira, too, because he speaks really, really well and openly each time he's asked himself. But It's now going to be 3 years of a very interrupted AFL time for him.
A long-term play, and they would have looked at it as a long-term play, but they wanted immediate response too. They wanted immediate impact on the ground, so that's why they got Mitchell and O'Meara. So they were doing that to top up, to say, we don't want to bottom out. We want to stay in the race for the eight. We want to stay in the race for the flag. This is the way we think it's going to be. Now it's a long-term play because of what's happened.
Have you seen much of the younger players coming through for the Hawks? Because Alistair Clarkson's been very strong that these are our next group of successful premiership players, and I can see them coming
Burton's
through.
Burton's a beauty. Sicily, up and down. O'Brien, I think, is going to be a very good player. Outside that, I saw Billy Hartung have 24 touches. Didn't know why he's in and out of the side so often, Billy Hartung. And then he just makes mistakes and his concentration goes in and out of games. But compared to other clubs and the amount of young players they've got on the list, Hawthorn lacked that part of the ground.
Howie, as the ladder stands, they sit second last, which obviously, as we know, translates to number two pick in the draft. Nick Riewoldt, who did the Saturday rub and then stayed around for the game on Saturday, just gone, got quite excited when that scenario was presenting itself to him at that time.
More days like this, the stronger the wood downstairs for Rui, because the Saints have got their pick, but ends up being a pick two or three. That's exactly what you want.
Really speed my way up out the door, won't it?
Sort of true what Rui said. If those low picks come in,
come on, horse.
Nothing beats self-interest, Bristol.
Handled it really well, I thought there, Nick. But, 17th on the ladder equates to pick two right now.
Talking about picks, your man that was very high, Josh Shackey. You were following this story throughout the season. Re-signed at the Brisbane Lions Footy Club, which is a massive fill-up for them, Damo.
Yeah, and you spoke to Chris Fagan yesterday, didn't you, on the Sunday Triple M coverage, and you just could tell, Howie, when you were asking him the questions about the win and the Shackey re-signing, I think he felt that the latter of those two issues was the bigger event for them, a Lions perspective that week.
It's probably the best thing that happened all week. It's probably even better than the win, I think, because we've lost so many players up here. It's just like a feeling that the tide's turned a little bit and boys are deciding to stay. And you know, I said to him last night, he didn't play in the game, but I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, I reckon you helped improve the mood around this place enormously this week by your decision. So I said, you can enjoy a little bit of a part of this win, mate, even though you didn't play.
Big rap, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fantastic. Do you agree with that, Juddy? Do you think a player signing makes the other blokes look at it and think, oh, well, this is okay, and then it becomes more of a destination?
I think particularly in the circumstances that they've faced up in Brisbane, where any time they got a player that showed a bit of ability by year three, it's really been, there's been a mass exodus. So those players will get a leg up from that, no doubt.
It had such a tough run. There was an article in the paper the other day and a statistic, which we'll have to get Chu to recall, but it was something like in the last 13 years, Brisbane, their positions on the ladder after that enormously dominant time. They've been down for a long time, haven't they, Damo?
Yeah, it was only 2009, wasn't it, under Michael Voss, where they played finals beyond the success they had and now. And even that was a false dawn, as we you know, soon were to know and realise. So it's been a really dark time for them. But again, with Chris Fagan, they're a bit similar to Brendan Bolton. You just know there's an assuredness in that head role. And obviously when it goes to the Brisbane Lions, you go down the line to David Noble too, who's as respected as anyone in that footy department space, having left the LA Crows to go there. So they've got the right two men in those positions now. And the stability that brings allows, I think, a decision like Shackey to have it done the way it was.
Nice little news wrap from you, Damien. 2:20, the getting ready on the slide. So about 25 minutes away, Schwatter. Describe the scene over there.
It's cold.
Starting to get cold.
Looks cold.
It does look cold.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But Rob, I'll be there speaking to all those people. But before all that, teams are in, Damo.
As selected, Howie, no change.
So the son of Gavin Brown will be making his debut on the MCG.
It's a big moment,
massive moment. And it just brings it back. How good is the father-son, Schwatter?
One of my favourite players, Rowdy Brown. And if he can turn out to be half as good as his old man, Juddy, he's going to be a fine player for the Collingwood Footy Club.
Well, there's something special about it. We saw Jack Silvani running around yesterday in the navy blue in his old man's jumper, Juddy. It's a wonderful way to bind your footy club and get supporters to continue through the generations, I reckon.
Yeah, and a lot of those sort of traditions have made their way out of our game, but I think you're right. It's a really special rule, and I'd love to see it made even easier for sons to be able to play at their dad's footy club.
And you've got by the captain of the Melbourne Footy Club too today, Jack Viney.
By way of the number of games that qualifies you. So,
50?
I wouldn't be opposed to 50 games.
They've just tested the water in the Freeze MND slide pool. 1.5 degrees, if you don't mind. You can get yourself around and get yourself involved. Fightmnd.org.au. And g'day to Gail, Katie Bartley's mum, who's battling away with MND like so many people around the country. Everyone needs a hand, so you can do it at fightmnd.org.au. Robbo will be speaking to the likes of Leighton Hewitt, Andrew Gay, Sherrod McMahon, Adam Gilchrist. Big Maxi Gorn's not too far away from wandering into the box, Mark Howard, with you, Wayne Schwartz.
How tight are you with Gilly? You drop his name a lot.
Not as much as KP, though, Bernie.
KP's the one.
Junior.
No, it's KP. I'll just tell you one thing you won't understand about Adam Gilchrist.
Names everywhere.
This is a man.
Well, they just fall out of your pocket. I'm just the kid from Barwon Edge, but I'll drop a name every now and again.
Well, it's because, Brownie, I've expanded beyond football, not like yourself in your own little narrow gauge. I'm a man that deals in international sports and international personalities.
You've got to know where your one wood is, Howie.
Which is the one wood?
The footy.
I think it might be the cricket, to be completely honest. One thing about Adam Gilchrist, Gilly is flown over for today. He's going down the slide. He's flown from Perth, and then he's flying all the way back to Perth. And I think it's a pretty good effort.
He hasn't just used that as an excuse because he doesn't want to go out to dinner with you post-game, has he?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had this experience before with Punter.
And the frequent flight points.
You guys think you're funny, aren't you?
Maybe they don't like you as much as you think.
No, I know they like me, Brownie.
Wasn't Punter meant to be the big secret guest at your...
The big secret reveal at the Man Cave extravaganza?
Then he just didn't turn up.
I had a couple of cricket bats for a charity I wanted him to sign, and Howie assured me he wouldn't have a problem with that.
I did ask him about that, and he went back to some article that was written in the Sheffield Shield when he was playing at Tasmania that he might have attributed to you at some stage, Damien, way back in the past, where you might have criticised him, saying you didn't think he'd make much of himself.
How would Finisterre and Nath get along, Howie?
Ricky? Do you reckon he's been flat out on the Finasteride for a long time. He's thickened up more than most.
I don't think he talks about that, Brownie, if indeed he does do it. I don't think he... It talks about
this has taken an awkward turn.
That's what Howie told us anyway.
you've made sure he will never appear on Triple M Footy now. This man doesn't need to worry about Finisteride because he's got a good head of hair on him, and not many blokes can pull off a beanie. And this bloke's one of them. Maxi Gorn joins us in the box now. G'day, Maxi. Wonderful to see you.
G'day, gents. Glad to be here.
Unfortunately, you're not playing footy at the moment. How long till the big man gets back out there? Because we miss you enormously.
Very, very close. I tried to get back for today, but they didn't let me. But I think I'm two more training sessions, which will be Tuesday, Friday for a Sunday game. So hopefully for the Doggies.
Mate, just explain the impact that today has had. We'll get to the footy side of things in a moment. Just explain the impact that Neil has had on the Melbourne Footy Club and the whole MND thing and the way your footy club's embraced it, which you all should be congratulated for.
Yeah, Neil came in and spoke to us on Saturday, and his main point was selfish v selfless. And for those that played footy in this room, we all think we're pretty selfless when you play footy, because you've got to be selfless to play in a team. But that got put in proportion the way he's selfless. He's fighting the disease, a cause that he's probably not going to win himself, but he could win for the overall motor neuron disease, which is super. So he gave that to us, and we're all going in thinking we're pretty selfless players, and we walked out thinking we're pretty selfish. So if we can take a little bit of that message that he gave us on Saturday today, hopefully we can get on top of the Pies.
And Maxie, you love your coffee.
Yep.
What bean are you working on at the minute?
At the moment, I'm in love with Supreme, which is it's actually a New Zealand coffee. They're over here. They're quite boutique. They're in about 20 to 25 coffee stores.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And you still got the plans for a cafe post-footy potentially. What sort of a style cafe would you be working on?
I don't know. I don't think I'm into this on-trend Melbourne cafe that's going on at the moment. I'm probably a bit more dungy.
Yeah. Bit of a Yellow Bird type operation there in Chapel Street, that sort of feel?
A little bit more of that. Yellow Bird, I'm not a big fan of the shop front, the actual on Chapel Street. I'd rather down like a little alleyway or something like that. But
what area are you looking in?
I want to stay away from what's known as the dungy area of Brunswick, because that's been done there. So I wouldn't mind trying to go to like the Malvern areas, have all these nice cafes and putting in a dungy little thing down there.
Last time I spoke to you, you were talking about Moorabbin through that neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's still down there as well. I did a bit of study down in Moorabbin, and a few of the places were closing down as soon as they were opening, so I don't think it's a very successful area.
Juddy's fascinated by veganism. Is this the type of path you're going down? Is it clean foods, whole foods? What are you going to go with?
No, that's where I'm trying to stay away from. You've seen what's going on.
He doesn't always listen, Howie.
In the Malvern area, there seems to be very healthy cafes. Some people just want to get in there and get their bacon and eggs, I think.
And do you think you'll have a full head of hair for all your life? Because we've got a couple of guys in the box who don't, and they're having a go at me because a drug called finasteride, which keeps your hair. So how's your hairline going?
I'm pretty happy to shave at the moment. I've got pretty deep pockets. although it's quite thick. So I think I might have a couple of years still left in me, but it is getting further and further back.
Any Melbourne players just expect that are on the hair regrowth program?
I wouldn't mind seeing if Nathan tried it, because Nathan was bald at 16, or balding at 16. So
Nathan Jones.
Okay. So I think he'd be someone that
he'd
could
want
probably
a refund if he tried it.
Maxie, you might not be aware that it came out a couple of Friday nights ago on the Friday Huddle that Nathan started taking this drug in 2003 and had to get a special exemption from ASAR. And WADA, Big Dick Pound, had to sign off on the letter, Nath, because you thought it was affecting you as a performer.
That's right. And you take a quarter of a tablet every day, and it retains your hair the thickness that it is. And they say if you stop taking it, that it starts to fall out with interest. So for the last 13 years, I've been taking it just thinking that if I don't, my hair's going to fall out. So I'm in a bit of a bad situation.
Is it just hair on your head, or are you getting shoulder hair, back hair?
No, just on your head. So,
Maxie, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hitting all the biggies. Hey, mate, how's the footy club going?
Yeah, it's going well. We're 5-5, which is not a bad position to be in, but if we do that again for the second half of the year, realistically we're not going to make finals. So we've got to play better over these next couple of games. We've got 4 6-day breaks in a row. I don't want to bore you, but that's actually quite a tough period for us, including a couple of travels. So some big games, including today, which is probably an 8-point game.
Hey, I know that you're keen to get back, but I want to get your thoughts on a man who's taken on the responsibility of filling in for you and Jack Spencer as well, is Cam Pedersen, given the fact that he's not as tall, he's not as big as you guys, but I think he's done a wonderful job in your absence.
He has. Within the club, we had good faith in Cam. He'd probably rucked a fair bit in the VFL because either myself or Spencer were usually injured, so Pedo had done about 3 or 4 years of rucking throughout the VFL when he's versed monsters in the VFL. So I'm not sure if you remember, but his first game for Kangaroos, he was a late inclusion for Goldstein. He versed Sandlands. He actually had a pretty good game. So he's come out. He's rucking pretty well. I might actually struggle to get my ruck roll back. We could actually play like a 50-50 ruck forward type role. But Spencer as well. Spencer's probably pretty unlucky that he missed out and got injured in the first game, but he had a chance to come in and ruck, and he played in the VFL on the weekend, so could be back this week.
Speaking with the Demons, Max Gawn. Maxie, Jesse Hogan's travels back to the footy club, and obviously complications that are minor, I've been told, relating to the testicular cancer surgery that he had some weeks ago. When is it that you may see him or expect him to be back on the AFL grounds?
Yeah, I'm not sure how deconditioned he's got. I'm not sure if he's unfit or not. So we got to see him train.
So he hasn't yet?
He hasn't joined in with the main group yet. So if he joins in with the main group and he's looking fit and healthy, I'm sure he'd probably only need 1 or 2 training sessions. But if he looks like he's a bit off, he might need that extra week. So he's in good spirits. He's replying to texts, which means he's in good spirits. Usually he doesn't reply.
Okay. The darts would have kept him in good shape, though.
Yeah, well, Brownie, to be honest, I'm not happy with the speculation that goes on about darts are bad for you.
It's just a big thing.
I managed to play. People think that I gave up darts, that's why I become this great footballer. I actually increased the darts.
And just referring to yourself as a great footballer, which I enjoy as well, Maxie.
I thought I'd chuck that one in and went up the road.
QMND, jump on board, and you can get involved with the website fightmnd.org.au.
Hey, just before we let you go, Maxie, the famous debut of Jack Watts was against the Pies this very game, and he got set upon. There's a young man by the name of Brown who's playing for the Pies today. Is there an opportunity there where the D's can dish out their own sort of treatment to a kid who's going to play at the Little League level for the first time?
Well, it won't be from Watsy. he's probably not the right guy. well, you look at our young fearless leader, Jack Viney. He doesn't need an excuse to get into someone, so he'll get into someone today. I'm not sure who it's going to be, but if it's a young Brownie gets in his way, I'm sure it could be him.
Maxie, you touched on before about this being such a crunch game and what it can do by way of maybe even being in the eight tonight if you were to win. Do you have the view that this season is very, very open and that the results we've seen to this point of the halfway point of the season that allows you as a club to dream pretty big?
It does. It just means you have to be on every single week. Watching footy over this weekend, especially watching Essendon and Carlton's performance, Gold Coast here in the G on Saturday, you can't get one tip right at the moment. So this is probably a more even game where there's actually 50-50 tips, but we've lost games where we've been tipped almost to by every single team, every single tipper, and we've managed to lose. So we've got to be on every single week, which is something that we're struggling with as a young group. So we're in a, like I said, we've got a pretty good patch of 4 weeks here of 6 day breaks, travelling, and versing some pretty good teams. So we've locked it into a sort of a 4 week block here and hoping to get at least 2 or 3 wins from it. Yeah.
Did you think going into the season you'd be a little bit further progressed than where you're currently sitting, or is this about where you expected?
Yeah, because we're probably sitting at the same spot we were last year. I think we finished 9th or 10th last year, and that's where we are at the moment. So you think with just another year of development, you think you're going to just grow. And throughout the pre-season, I mean, you know, in pre-season, you think you're the best team in the AFL. So we were pretty confident going into the pre-season and had a very good NAB Cup. So we're a little bit disappointed with some of our performances, but there's still a long way to go. I think we've still got 12 games to go.
We have the pleasure on a Sunday to work with the Zen Master, Paul Roos. We can't find any dirt on him, any dirty secrets. Have you got something about your former coach you can share with the Triple M family?
Does he manage to rock up every Sunday?
He does. Oh, no, last week he was missing.
Yeah, he went to Port Douglas last week.
Didn't tell us either.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. In his third year of coaching, which was when Goody really had the reins, he was a Saturday coach. He wasn't about Monday to Friday, and he definitely wasn't driving out to Casey to watch a VFL. So he was very focused. He actually made a comment one day saying, "Boys, the VFL is very important to me. That's why I watch it on my laptop every Wednesday."
Maxie, we really appreciate your time. Good news that you'll be out on the footy field soon. Best of luck to you and your Demons today. Thanks for having a chat with us.
Thanks for having me.
Not too far away from the slide, courtesy of Channel 7. Looks like Tim Watson is having a chat with the man behind all this, Neil Danaher.
Well, it's been a massive week, hasn't it? It's been a great week, Timmy, for fighting MND, and we'd like to thank everyone, mate, for their support. We've got a community-based campaign. We've got businesses involved. We've got the federal government involved, so together we've got a big army to fight MND.
And the government have come on board again as well, which is great news.
They've been fantastic. They were involved last year, and they've agreed to match every dollar raised today. Your dollar becomes $2. So support us together, and we'll beat this disease.
Great to hear from Neil and Tim, courtesy of Channel 7. A bit of room out of the news, I think, out of the room, Swatter.
Yeah, nice touchdown there. Father son to father son, because Callum Brown just had his debut jumper presented by Darcy Moore.
Yeah, big event to play your first game. Who was your first game, Nath? Who were you against and where was it?
It was at Optus Oval, round 197, against the Fremantle Dockers. 7,300 people there, so not the biggest day in the world, but it was certainly, they sounded like 70,000.
We're working our way toward that in the book relayings that we do on the Friday huddle, Howie. So there was a reference to that I noticed last week, which I was going to produced last week, but we'll do it this week.
Okay, yeah. I look forward to that. Who'd you play on? Who was your first VFL/AFL opponent?
Scotty Chisholm.
Scotty Chisholm. Yeah.
Kicked the winning goal. He did. Yep.
He did.
He certainly did, from my lack of defensive pressure, well, I thought, which was pointed out by Terry Wallace.
Which carried through for your entire career.
Look, mainly they came to me, Schwatter. Not this day and age where they don't get tagged or anything.
And what about yourself, Judge? Who did you debut against?
I debuted right here against Collingwood Football Club round 2 in 2002, and we went down by a single point.
And how'd you go?
Brodie Holland kicked 8 goals, didn't he?
Brodie Holland kicked 8. I was okay. Played on Chad Rintoul, was my first opponent, and was serviceable.
One of your heroes,
what,
Chad Rintoul.
Did more than serviceable, Jody. I think you got votes in your first game, didn't you?
I don't know if I got
votes. I think you got one vote your first game.
Tell you what we did do on the Sunday footy show yesterday was we go back in time, the best 25 years, best moments, and Chris Judd's game against Brisbane as a young fella when he kicked 5 goals, and some of the highlights of that, the hair was standing up on the back of your neck. It's unbelievable.
Very good day, Harry. Very good day. The long hair was flowing, the West Coast Eagles were flying, and it was good to knock off the reigning premiers back then.
The Finisterre was worked beautifully.
Just a lazy 5 before half-time.
5 and a half, then that was enough, Purple.
I think 4 in about 20 minutes.
In the second half.
See, why? Why, when you were playing, if we'd come up to your post-game and said, "Oh, tell us about your day-to-day, Chris," Why couldn't you have said that?
Why said
couldn't
no comment.
You entertain the people by saying five is enough at half time?
Because it doesn't serve you as a player to create headlines. How are you there for the team and you're there for a common goal, and being in the headlines doesn't serve that goal. But now that I'm building an internationally recognised brand, creating headlines does serve a purpose, Howie.
I see. Robbo, nice scene setter. You're down there at the slide. Describe.
I'm next to the slide, but also just stuck a toe in the pool. I'm right next to the pool, Howie. It's freezing, absolutely freezing.
Just a toe, Robbo?
Just a toe, mate, because it is cold. And as we heard from Neil Danaher just then, what did he play? 82 games with Essendon, captain 82, and coach Melbourne, and superstar off the pitch as well. But the federal government, as we said, pledging $2 million to match the public donation, which is fantastic. And the other thing is the 8 drugs under development. They had nothing a few years ago, and now clinical trials are going through that. So it gives people hope. And as I drove in, actually, the billboard over the railway...
We might have just lost Robbo. No, he's back again. We have lost Robbo.
Billboard over the Richmond station was massive. It's huge with Neil in full flight there. So we're hoping that the support and the order of the big splash adds to the generosity. And first up will be Andrew Gaze. Second will be Alicia Camplin. Third, Adam Gilchrist. You should see him. He's dressed like a shark. Number four is Sherelle McMahon. Looks like Wonder Woman. Steve Bradbury. Come from behind Steve. He's there. Number six is Steve Hooker, the pole vaulter. Number seven will be a slow burn from Steve Monaghetti, the marathon man. And Leighton Hewitt will draw up the number eight. So all things Davis Cup. Fantastic form and at world number one. So there you're eight guys that are going to fly down this slide into freezing cold water. And this kicks off such a generous and magnificent day here.
Anything else, Robbo? Well, that's a good summation.
I reckon that's pretty good, don't you reckon?
Yeah, nicely done, Robbo. You spoke so long, your battery's cut out midstream there, but no, magnificent job, and it's a big job down there to get all the interviews. It is all built up now. Damo, we're not too far away from this. Who are you looking forward to of these big names? Who do you think is going to pull something? Because we saw Das probably disappoint with his costume in recent times. It's a bit of pressure to make sure you get it right.
I did have a quick glance at Gilchrist, your man, the four. He has got some form of blonde wig on, or at least it looked to be the case beneath some form of dressing gown that he's wearing at the moment. So I'm keen to see that one. Steve Monaghetti, not sure what he's going to bring, Howie. He's a pretty dour sort of...
the boy from Ballarat.
And he's one of the better people you ever come across in any form of life, but just not
doesn't
sure what he's
going to... Doesn't sound like it the way he painted a picture early on there, Purple.
He's your dour operator.
Have you been nominated for the slide demo?
No.
Has Gilly cleared that costume with you, Howie?
Yeah, no, he's all clear. they're usually quite dour, the marathon. Have you ever dealt with the great Robert DiCostella?
Name dropper.
No.
Commonwealth Games in Delhi, Brownie. This is a man that had run around the streets of India with his own little piece of what he called like a punji stick piece of apparatus in his hand. In case he got attacked, he'd be ready to jab someone in return. That's the way he rolled, Brownie. Oh,
really?
Absolutely. Okay. We see
Didn't
Jones.
Need to use it, Howie?
No, he didn't need to use it on the mean streets of Delhi. So we're not too far away here.
Never be too prepared, can you?
No, fightmnd.org.au. Before we get to all this, Gazza, I saw him play against the Hawks. Where's that at, Damo? Because, is he back to his best? I read in the paper today someone was talking about him as a smoky for the Brownlow.
Well, he would have to be, given his record, to draw the umpire's attention throughout his entire career. And if you took out that round two game, guys, where he was critiqued, wasn't he? But we forgot even in that week that he got coaches' votes in round one and then had the shock in round two. And then that week, that very week, was the one where he couldn't commit publicly to staying at the footy club. And that has now got a momentum whereby it's all but a done deal that he's not going to be there for next year. So you remove all that.
Hutchie thinks it's a done deal, doesn't he?
He does. And to give Hutchie his due on this, and I don't naturally do this without being justified, Brownie, he did say this last year that this was headed down this path. And I don't think he's been wrong the way it's played out. And the fact that Gary himself just can't and won't, and for reasons that are comfortable with him relating to family, commit to staying at the Gold Coast despite having that contract. But just footy-wise, Howie, which is the reason you raised this today, he's going pretty well, isn't he? I mean, he was really good on the weekend. We called it. You saw it, didn't you? Or you saw it, Brownie. You covered the game.
Yeah, he was three votes. He was very, very good. Influential, too. Like, he's had some games this year where he's got easy touches, but this was a genuinely best-on-ground performance.
Yeah. And, again, as you said on Saturday, as that game unfolded, they've got a patch of matches now, the Suns, that if they get it right, and it only has to be 7 75, 80% right, they're going to be in the running when it comes September.
Does they it make it harder four of their sack, next five? Does that make it harder or impossible to sack Rodney Eade if they make finals?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I think going into the season, making the finals, I didn't think was going to be an absolute enough for Rodney Eade to go into.
Really?
Yeah, that was going into the year. Now,
if they play finals this year, you still think there's a chance that they would move him on?
I reckon that's moving. I reckon the fact he's brought them back to the point now where we are talking about them as finals, I think that's to his full credit because of what he's been faced with in isolation in 2017 already.
Who was the last coach to get sacked after making it? Was it Michael Voss?
Mark Harvey?
Now, it wasn't Michael Voss.
Mark Harvey make finals when he left Freo? They were close if they didn't make it.
They didn't make it that year. Did Rats get the Blues to the finals?
Did who? Rats get the Blues
to the year we got the sack, no.
Year before?
Yeah, year before he did.
Looks like our first slider is ready. It is Andrew Gaze, who, of course, carried the flag at the Sydney Olympics in his full Sydney Olympics regalia.
His
marching uniform. So Gaze is the first to go.
He doesn't want to go, Howie.
Made the right choice not to get the torso out, Harold.
Oh, I wouldn't. He's just sort of a white, podgy style torso, I would have thought these days on Gazy. So he's got the flag. I'm not sure it's the flag that
he's
carrying.
Absolutely petrified. What's the current temperature in there?
1.5.
Yep.
Gazy's given it his best. He's appealing to the crowd to give it to him. And you can see him saying, it's quite cold in there. So Gaze is the first one to go. Robbo will be down there. I think you need to score each out of 10. I don't think Gaze's set the world on fire. I want a vote out of 10 for uniform from you, Juddy, and out of 10 from you, Brownie, for dive.
Well, I thought his airtime was about as high as he used to get on the basketball court. And I think the uniform, I'd say a country five.
Okay, a five for the uniform. Tunners, you need to keep judge of these. Brownie, for the dive itself?
I thought his enthusiasm was quite good, so I'm going to give him a 7 out of 10.
So he gets 12 out of 20 for Andrew Gaze. That's the end of Gazy. He's having a chat at the moment. Robbo won't be too far away down there. You'll also hear from Leighton Hewitt, Steve Hooker, Elisa Camplin, fightmnd.org.au. I think Elisa Camplin, who is a snow bunny of great renown, she'll be used to these conditions, Swatter.
Collingwood board member too, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Yeah,
yes.
So doing a good job down there. But, yeah, she'd be used to the cold, Damon. I would imagine that a lady of her style will have a lot of grace when she goes down the slide.
Well, will she go down on her feet?
Let's hear from Andrew Gaze.
Hey, Gazy, how was that, mate? Leading Australia, but you had the entire MCG with the flag aloft, and then you hit the freeze.
Well, I was very... And then when that freeze kicks in, that kicks in. Tim was saying before, you got no idea how cold it is. And I'm like, yeah, well, sure, we've all been cold, Mark, before. Mate, that is ridiculous.
Shrinkage?
Well, my street levels of shrinkage, my nickname when I was a youngster was The Gift. So shrinkage here, boys. Just brings it back to me immortals.
Thanks, Gaze.
So 12 out of 20 for Andrew Gaze. Elisa Camplin is getting ready. She's on 7 at the moment with Tim Watson.
Standing in good stead with a little bit of magpies. Woo!
Good luck.
Thanks.
Boy.
She looks like she's going in an Australian jumping uniform. A wonderful Olympian. Won a gold medal in Swatter.
The Olympics,
yes.
The winter ones.
The winter Olympics. Yeah. So she's got Fight MND stretched across the uniform. She's got the beautiful pigtails in. Swatter, I want you to call this one. Here she goes.
She's
Elisa
ready.
Kaplan.
She's amped up. She's loving life. And away she goes. And in she goes. Oh, and now she's a tad cold.
1.5 degrees in the water. So Elisa Camplin has run her race. Uniform, describe it, and a score. Thank you, Juddy.
Well, it's sort of your one-piece overall type operation. I think it's very neat. I think the pigtails are good. I think the dismount was pretty solid as well. It gets a 7 out of
Would you get overalls like that at your favourite shop down there at Burberry, or would you not get that type of equipment?
Oh, I don't think that's quite your designer type apparel, Howie. Look, it's got a role in depending on what your wardrobe ambitions are.
All right, so 7 from the judge on the wardrobe. Brownie, the actual performance itself?
I thought it was a slow entry. Didn't quite get as much air as what Gazy did, so I'm going to give her a 5.
Oh. A 5, so she equals Andrew Gaze on 12. So well done to Elisa Camplin. We've still got Adam Gilchrist, who's dressed up as a shark. Let's go to Robbo with Elisa Camplin. Robbo.
Alicia, like, you expect the cold aerial skier. Is that as cold as you've ever got off a jump?
Yeah, you know, for me it used to be about the jump. That was all about the landing. I'm just happy I survived. I'm freezing.
Oh, come on, there's heaters down here, but bear with it for a sec. Hey, Collingwood, you're a board member. This is a big day for the club.
Yeah, I really hope we come out with a win. I know Neil wants Melbourne to get up, but, you know, seriously, go Pies.
Well done.
Well done to Robbo and to Alicia. And what you've got to realise is about 15 different radio stations trying to speak to these people, and Damo, they just Robbo. Walk over to
yep.
our man,
yeah,
Robbo.
Well done, Robbo. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
He commands that. He's got a presence down there that no one else has got.
Freeze MND, fightmnd.org.au. Donate right now. We are in the midst of the slide. We are scoring it out of 10 for style and 10 for costume. So far, Alicia Campion is tied on 12 with Andrew Gaze. And casting our eye over there at the moment, Schwatter, it looks yep. like we're going cricket, are we?
Yeah, we are, with your best mate. So it's only fair that you call this your great mate, your dear friend, Adam Gilchrist.
Well, knowing him well, if he's sober, if he's sober, I'd be surprised. Because this is a man that likes to enjoy himself around the bar. He's just taking the robe off now. Gilly, let's hear from him with Tim Watson.
A bloke who, well, this really is his backyard, and I've come along as one of his potent weapons today.
Oh, no.
I am. I'm Warnie's flipper.
Warnie's flipper, well, flipper, off you go into the ice.
A little unusual.
So he's dressed up as a dolphin, Gilly, with his Cricket Australia top on. Very tight, him and Shane Warne.
And shorts, Howie.
Yeah, and shorts.
And shorts.
So Gilchrist warming up now. He's done some amazing things here at the MCG before. Can he turn it on now? Been a little bit disappointed with the...
He may have actually shaved the legs.
Wouldn't surprise me. So here he goes, Gilchrist.
He has.
Yes.
On the runway, playing up to the crowd as he does. Takes the first jump, takes the second,
terrific.
And does a sort of Tony Hawk 360 terrific. And jumps up. Oh, he's got hair falling out. He looks a bit bedraggled, Gilly. Over to you as far as... what he's wearing, Juddy.
I like it. I think it's very hard to fault. It'd be dangerous to fault it with his best mate in the box beside you. But he gets a 9 out of me for his setup today.
A 9. And as far as the logistics of the dive itself, Brownie?
Well, I thought it was brilliant because he got some air and he yeah. flipped. So he actually yeah. went in head first. So I'm going to go a 9 as well.
A 9. So go. Gilchrist hits the front on 18 out of 20. Campion on 12. Andrew Gaze on 12. It does look very, very cold down there. Robbo will be sniffing all over this. He'll be speaking to Gilly very,
legs
very soon.
Legs were smooth, Swatter, weren't they?
They were cleanly shaved for mine, Brownie.
Next up, one of Australia's, if not Australia's, best netballer, Sherelle McMahon, multiple gold medalist in the Commonwealth Games. Let's hear from Robbo and Gil.
Hey, a lot of pressure out of that southern stand for you. You've experienced pressure before, but this is big time, Gilly.
Yeah, well, Mum and Dad always said, go and do something. Be proud. Let us be proud of you at the MCG. I'm not sure that was their proudest moment, but it was good fun.
Warnie's flipper, unplayable?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, I had the best seat in the house. Usually wicket-keeping to see Warnie deliver. I don't think I delivered quite as subtly as him, but, yeah, what a great reaction. Great crowd here. Plenty going on.
Bouncer or the freeze? What's your choice?
What was it?
The bouncer? Would you face the bouncer or the slide for the freeze?
Nah, the freeze. Too much camaraderie. Good fun.
Hey, Gilly, looking good. Bit dishevelled. You're a bit of a mess, but looking good.
I'll go and tidy myself up and go and get a warm drink.
Thanks, Gilly.
It was Adam Gilchrist. Now, on the runway, Sherelle McMahon, dressed up as a diamond.
Costume
as in,
10. It would, has yeah. to be a 10.
She's a half diamond,
cannot be beaten.
Half Wonder Woman, which is looks amazing.
Yep, and she's in flight. And she managed to skid across almost the whole way across the pool. Now it's a tad cold for Sherelle.
Well, she looks absolutely fantastic, Judge. You gave Gilly a 9. McMahon looks magnificent there.
She does. She does. And a good Carlton fan too. And just going for a little netball shot. She's nailed. So look, she gets a 10. Hell
yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Hard to argue. Just describing, she's got the Wonder Woman gold wristbands on, Damo. And... managed to do it without spoiling her makeup at all by putting her head under the
didn't
water.
Didn't get the head under, which was very clever of her.
Brownie?
Well, how she looked was amazing. Obviously a 10 out of 10, but that it certainly lacked the entry without getting her hair wet. So I'm only going to give her a 3.
Oh, Brownie!
Goes
but
to
she got the
team.
Netball
wasn't a great entry.
Into the ring. Yeah. So that was part of it.
Yeah.
Currently in... second position. I'm going to drop some more names now. Stephen Bradbury.
Oh, hell yeah.
I went to Sochi with him.
Oh,
and I
that's
can tell you,
this stops today.
Robbo is with Come Sherelle on. McMahon.
Sherelle, didn't get the hairdo done or the makeup's not running. It's in perfect positioning. Beautiful.
Oh, it was a nice entry.
I was happy with that. I'm happy with that.
Hey, Wonder Woman, it's just so apt for you.
Oh, man, thanks for that. Look, I just thought, you know, the diamonds, beautiful, big part of my history, and I just thought I needed that superhero help to get me down the slide.
Goal attack, you got to be pretty quick around the netball court, but you're in and out of that, and you also had a little bit of a go at the net.
Yeah, I did. They threw me a netball and put it up. I think I might have had some help. Sully might have just moved that ring for me a little bit, so that was good. First go.
I've given you a 10 anyway.
Oh, cheers. Thanks.
Well done, Sherelle.
Sherelle McMahon, known by her good friends as Sherazzle Dazzle. Did I ever tell you to play touch rugby with Sherelle? But that's a story for another day. Hey, your man, now that's a true story. Your man, Stephen Bradbury, one of the, Juddy, loosest cannons to ever represent his country across any sport.
Really?
I don't like what I'm seeing here.
Well,
no.
Describe what he's dressed as.
It's sort of a very long bouffant type...
Kappa
hairdo. A Sydney Swans outfit, mm-hmm. But...
Could be Luffy.
Let's see how he makes his face.
Could be Luffy. Could be Luffy, but
I think it is Troy Luffy.
I think it is Luffy. So, dressed up as Warwick Kappa.
The Wiz.
He's on the runway now.
He's on the runway. He's about to go. He's used to being on ice. Hand salutes. Loses complete control. That'll rake its head off because he's done a half pike triple somersault, Brown Dom.
He certainly will.
And he's just
he's still under the water,
he
too.
He's come up.
Well, this is a man used
this
to doing
a triple
it hard.
M Chemist Warehouse replay screen now. Didn't quite get the start right, did he?
Nah.
He's holding the footy.
He's done a full pike, though, which has obviously impressed the Russian judges. Over to you, Juddy,
look,
in uniform.
I think he gets a 3 for the uniform.
Three for the Australian
just
gold medalist.
Beat you in the grand final. Not about that, Pip.
And for the performance itself,
I thought it was a 9.5. He went in, he went down hard, flipped completely and landed on his head. So I'm going to give him a 9.5 for that.
So he goes to 12.5. Camplin on 12. Bradbury on 12.5. Gaze on 12. Sherelle McMahon, disappointingly for mine, on 13. Adam Gilchrist, the standout, on 18 at the moment. So it is a pretty tight at the top of the leaderboard.
Any other names you want to drop out there, Howie?
Well, I've just had a look at some of the names still to go, and I'll be honest with you, Brownie, I know most of them pretty well. So.
Can you believe, Juddy, he went out on a date with Bernie Eccleston's daughter once?
Howie did.
Yep.
Fightmnd.org.au. I think it's a good time for a break. We're in the middle of the slide, and the next man up is Steve Hooker, I do believe.
Another great mate, Howie.
Yeah, went to Glasgow with him, worked on the Commonwealth Games. Know him recently well. But, Damo, we had a bit of a name drop-off in the break, and you think you've got greater claim to Hooker.
I helped him write a column there for the Herald Sun going back about 9 years before those Olympics that he won the gold medal at Howie, so I might know him a little bit.
Just very awkward in the break watching you two measure off, it was, to be honest.
Yes, I agree.
Well, Stevie Hooker is just getting himself set now.
One of the good guys, though, in sport, Howie.
Yeah, he's just a ripping fella. And we were just reminiscing about his gold medal performance, Damo. He was up against it a couple of times
there.
Yeah,
twice from memory, he actually had the two misses. And just to stay in the competition that he ultimately won the gold medal in, from memory this is, that he actually had to go up with the last chance and you're out type leap and then got there and then, as we know, won easily in the end.
Here is Steve Hooker with Tim Watson.
Jacket from the 1969 Pacific Conference Games and my mum's Commonwealth singlet. From Edmonton in 1978. And I've got my pool noodle pole vault pole. Off you go.
So he's got a pool noodle, sort of three in a row stuck together. He's going to try and vault his way down there, Swatter.
I think he's got a bit longer to train off than what Juddy has. He's maintained
he's terrific.
His
terrific,
yeah.
Nick, isn't he, Swatter? He looks $1 million.
He does look $1 million.
His parents were very good athletes themselves.
Yep, he's got his noodle. Holding onto it quite firmly. And about ready to go, Damo.
A lot of hair on the legs.
No. On his way, he's almost lost control. That'll rate highly because he's done the somersault action, which Brownie likes.
Hooker's in the ice, 1.5 degrees, asking for a second go, but unlike the pole vault where you get three cracks, only one crack on Fight MND. Put a lot of effort into some historical sportswear, Juddy.
He did, and he had the noodle, which I liked, to incorporate a utensil.
Utensil.
You know, I've got a penchant for utensils. Yes. Speaking about them on Triple M.
You do.
And I think he gets a 7, Howie.
Only a 7 for Hooker for the uniform. I thought that was a bit harsh. Brownie, as far as the dive itself.
It wasn't big on his facial expressions coming down. I'm going to give him a 6.
A 6, so 13 for Hooker. So currently Gilchrist leads a standout on 18 from Sherelle McMahon on 13. Robbo is with Steve Hooker. Robbo.
Well, Steve, Olymp noodle. hurdle, a little nip pole going into it, but usually you get a nosebleed being up so high, but no bleeding down there with the ice.
No, that's right. I mean, it, everything seizes up, it's fair to say, when you hit that water. There's no chance of blood loss.
The warm-up, the crowd applaud you just before you get to the runway with the pole, so great enthusiasm here.
Yeah, it was great. It was just like standing at the end of the runway, but normally you start at the bottom and end up at the top, and here we start at the top and ending up at the bottom. So we flipped it on its head, and it was a great fun. I'm bloody freezing now, though.
Olympic gold medalist, Commonwealth Games here at the MCG, 56. It all comes back, flooding back athletics stuff down here.
Oh, mate, it's such a special stadium. For me, it was my first big moment in athletics happened here at the MCG, so I always love coming back in here. But this is just really special, doing something great for Fight MND, and, just thrilled to be a part of it.
Get warm, mate.
Well done to Stephen Robbo. Steve Monteghetti now on the runway in the Cathy Freeman suit. In he goes into the water, the great marathoner.
Not too bad. You were telling us about the time you went on the 3K jog with him before, actually, Howie, which was terrific. And described by Purple as the most boring man in Australia.
No,
before the slide, which I just thought was a bit harsh. But he gets a five for me for his
Cathy
Freeman outfit.
Why is he the most boring man in Australia?
I didn't say he was. I said he was a very good person who probably performed the way I expect him to perform today.
Yeah, he's a great man, Steve Monaghan.
He is. He's as good a bloke.
Ask Howie what sort of bloke he is. Howie knows.
Well, listen, I got to know him running around the streets of Delhi during the Commonwealth Games, and he's an exciting man for a marathoner.
Yeah.
Very good bloke. And the way of Ballarat, so he's used to the cold temperatures. So he's got the Cathy Freeman outfit, which scored him a...
He got a five.
Did you judge him, Bernie?
I haven't judged him yet.
Yep. Okay, what did you think about his performance?
Don't get snippy. How he goes to me.
Okay.
We had him on a pre-season camp in Ballarat one year, and he ran past me around Lake Wendaree and told me to push harder, so he gets a two.
So the first of our sliders to score under 10, Steve Monteghetti, is currently in last place. Leighton Hewitt is the next man up, the man that won the US Open. And, of course, Wimbledon, when I think he took down David Nalbandian. Let's hear from him with Tim Watson.
So many people here today, so happy to see you, but you've been inspired by Neil Danaher as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What Neil's done for this terrible disease, and tennis has been really affected by this. Today I'm wearing my Davis Cup outfit, which makes me extremely proud, obviously. But as a young kid growing up as a tennis player, you always wanted to get a gold jacket and represent your country in Davis Cup. And for everything Neil's done for this and the whole community, especially around Australia, I just want to give Neil my jacket. So thank you, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Mate, he would take off his jacket. And he's got his Adelaide Crows jumper on underneath, the big Crows man.
You're getting a lot of booze for the Adelaide jumper, though, mate.
Well, it was, we talk about tennis being a dream for me, but it was always a dream to wear the tricolours of the Adelaide Crows at the MCG, and this is about as close as I get. So,
and just one final request before you go into the water, just something that you need to do before you enter?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I just want to urge everyone, it's about donating today, so come on, let's get out there and let's help this cause.
Well, how long were you his hitting partner for, Howie, in the day?
No, I'm not so tight with Leighton. In fact, I asked him to come on the Howie Games, or asked his manager, the number one rating podcast around Australia. Mate, it makes yours look like a drop in the ocean. But to be honest, his manager never got back to me, so I can't say I'm that tight with Leighton. Okay. But he's got the number 9 on his back. Anyway, off he goes.
Great, mate.
What do you think Neil will do with the small-sized yellow jacket he just received, Howie?
I'm not sure. Prior to pace in the pool room.
On his way, airborne, and another one of these players that likes to do the reverse somersault. Gets up, hits the water with a double fist pump.
All right, Juddy, his outfit, Davis Cup in conjunction with the Adelaide Crows, his great passion.
Hard not to like Leighton, and a huge Leighton fan myself, but doesn't look like he's gone outside his own wardrobe to put that together, Howie. He's got the Davis Cup uniform, which is something I think he'd be wearing quite regularly, and probably the Adelaide Crows jumper, which he'd have stashed in a bottom drawer somewhere. So I can't give him higher than a three.
A three for one of Australia's greatest ever sportsmen, Leighton Hewitt. As far as his performance down the slide, Brownie?
I love him. It was at the US Open final that he won with Luke Darcy, Craig Ellis, Simon Gallick and Tony Liberatore, who for some reason, senior obviously, took a football into the US Open Flushing Meadows and at the end of the game kicked it down to Leighton, and then he invited us back to his drinks afterwards, so Leighton gets a 9.
So you had a drink with him?
Yes. Now, he didn't drink, actually. We did.
Right, yeah. Now who's dropping names?
Can you pick that name up off the ground, can you?
Yeah, so yeah. 12 for Leighton Hewitt. So just to summarise, in last place, Monteghetti with a 7 out of 20, and then tied Hewitt, Gaze, and Camplin on 12. Steve Bradbury, 12.5. Steve Hooker, 13. But 18, and our winner is Adam Gilchrist. Robbo.
Should we take a few off, Gilly?
Robbo's down there.
Come on, Leighton. Fantastic catch cry, that. Oh, I bet you sleep in that Adelaide jumper, do you?
I wish. Nah, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's been a great cause. It's been a big build-up this week as well. But it's something that I'm just so proud to be a part of. And Neil has been an absolute inspiration to so many people and the way that he's gone about it. And my sport, tennis, has really been affected by this disease.
You flicked in the jumper. That's good. Good offer for the donations.
Yeah, no, well, for me, that's something I always, you know, was so proud to get my first Davis Cup. I'm number 89 in the numbers as well of players that have represented Australia for Davis Cup in tennis. And, you know, I don't have too many of them. And for me to give it to Neil, he's been an inspiration to a lot of people.
So hot out in centre court. Usually when you're playing tennis over 40s, it melts paint, I'll tell you. But that is the freeze. Worth doing, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And, you know, just to do it at the MCG, a place like this, one of the greatest sporting arenas in the world, and for a great cause, and that was a lot of fun.
How does it rate? Slams, Davis Cup, player, the whole slam thing with the slide, how does this compare?
Oh, this is just for such a good cause, you know, and it's, as I said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You don't know how to prepare for it. I was probably more nervous today because I saw everyone else getting out. I had to wait about 45 minutes to get my go up there, so, it was a lot of fun, and I'm really glad I did it.
Good stuff. Well done, champ.
Brilliant by Leighton. Beautiful by Robbo. Only man that can compare winning Wimbledon to going into a pool of ice.
A couple of slams in there. It was a bit of the vibe from Robbo, wasn't it? It was terrific.
Slam. So, Adam Gilchrist is the winner on 18. I've just got a text from him.
They're all winners, though, Howie.
Yeah, I just got a text from Gilly, mate. Got a 7 o'clock flight. You want to catch up at 6 for a quick beer? I'll have to get back to it.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.